Shvius, Perek Zayin, Mishnah Aleph, 7:1. The following Mishnah sets forth what it calls the Klal Gadol, the great principle that applies to Shvius. The reason Gadol is used, great here, which is not often the case in the Mishnahs, is because, says the Tiferet Yisrael, because of the severity, the enormity of the consequences of failing to keep Shemitah properly. So we have Klal Gadol by Shabbos, because of the enormity of Shabbos and its desecration, and here again by Shvius, as opposed to other Mishnahs, which talks about general principles of Klal in general, not a Klal Gadol. Now, to understand what this Mishnah is driving at, which is to explain to what kinds of produce the halachas of Shemitah and Biur apply, you have to appreciate that the Torah says that Hashem gives us the food for achila, for eating, but that Chazal understood that achila includes any kind of consumption, where, like eating in one's mouth, the destruction of the foodstuff or the vegetable matter is concurrent. It happens at the exact same time that the benefit is being taken from it. So that means eating by a person, of course, you take the apple and you eat it, and concurrent with the destruction of the apple as it's being consumed is the benefit of the apple, because you're eating that apple and you're getting benefit from it. That would be true for feeding animals. That would be true for dye stuffs, D-Y-E. When you're dyeing material, you're extracting the dye out of the vegetable matter, and it's being put into whatever you're trying to dye, the color. There are other applications as well, like, for example, putting oil on your skin, detergents, and so on. A very important notable exception is wood, firewood, etc. So Chazal understood that firewood and its burning is a two-step process. That is to say, it's not concurrent, simultaneous, its destruction with the benefit it confers. They're two separate stages. First, the wood is burned and turns to, you know, to coal, and the heat is released. That's step one. And then step two is the heat goes and cooks your bread or whatever the story is, warms up your oven. That's step two. And since they're not happening simultaneously, there's two separate steps. First, the destruction of the wood, and then the cooking or heating or baking, whatever's going on. So, unlike regular food, animal food, dye stuffs, etc., wood does not have Kedusha Shvius, because that reason, it's not consumed in the same way that food is consumed, etc. So our mission is going to set forth a basic principle, which is any vegetable matter which is consumed, either by people, animals, dye stuffs, etc., even if the food is not normally cultivated, it's not a first choice in terms of a food or animal food or fodder. But if it works, then it works. And if it is consumed from time to time as animal food or person food, etc., then it constitutes something that is ne'echal eaten, and therefore it has kedusha shvius. The Mishnah will cite some very unusual examples. The reason why is a combination of factors. One is because we want to emphasize that even though these are quite unusual foods to eat, they can be eaten, and therefore they do have the status of food that has Kedusha Shvius. And second of all, speaks out the Tiferet Yisrael, that if you'd have normal vegetables that are grown, that grow in a single year, so there's this Isser Svichin, we've said it a number of times, the prohibition against having and consuming and harvesting vegetables, etc., plants that are normally planted and harvested in a single year, because people were cheating the system. And even though the Torah allows for things to grow naturally, people were saying, we're planting these vegetables and then, or grain, whatever it is, and then claiming, oh, it grew naturally. This is wild vegetable, wild grain. And so therefore, all things that are planted and harvested in a single year are forbidden under this category called Svichin. And that Isser Derabanan doesn't apply to foods that are not normally cultivated. So our Mishnah, to avoid the issue of talking about foodstuffs that you couldn't anyways eat, because there's an Isser Svichin on them, and we'll pick foods that are not normally cultivated, and therefore they're not subject to the Isser Svichin, and therefore they're foods that people could pick in the Shemitah year and eat, yet the Mishnah warns that they are subject to the restrictions that Shemitah food has, including the Kedusha of Shvius, the Kedusha itself. The second point the Mishnah will make has to do with Biur. We've seen Biur also a couple of times already. Biur is the obligation that when the produce is no longer available in the wild, because the Pasuk says it's for the consumption of people as well as for the behemah and chaya, so if animals. So in the event that you have foods that are no longer available in the wild for the animals, so then One may not retain any of that food in his home. He has to do biur on it, which means removing it from his house. According to most mefarshim, it means to remove it from his house and then declare it hefker, ownerless. The Rambam famously understands that biur requires destruction of the food. Be that as it may, our mission is saying the basic principle is vegetable matter that's consumed, whether it's food for people or animals or dyes, etc. If there's a time in the calendar when a particular foodstuff is no longer available for the animals to forage on, because let's say as the winter goes on, it kind of rots in the ground, becomes inedible. So then there is a time for biur for this produce, in addition to it having kedusha shvius. As opposed to certain kinds of vegetables can live in the ground throughout the entire winter and not rot, you know, like an onion bulb, or we saw luf bulbs and so on. So if you have an onion which can stay in the ground the whole winter long and survive just fine, so then there's never going to be a time for biur, because there's never a time when animals who are foraging in the wild couldn't find these onions in the ground. So our mission is going to say, provided that food meets those two criteria, number one, that it's consumed either by people, animals, bystuffs, etc., and number two, that there's a time when it's no longer available in the wild, then it's subject to the halachas of kedusha shvius, as well as the halachas of biur. The mission just makes one more point, which is that when something has kedusha shvius, the money used to purchase that foodstuff will also have kedusha shvius, and similarly, that money will have the obligation of biur when the time of biur kicks in, that particular food that was purchased with the money. So that is to say, for example, if I'm selling my whatever food that's in the list here, one item on the list is luf leaves. So I'm selling my luf leaves from a wild luf to someone else. You can't do business with it. And we'll see then subsequent Mishnah the restrictions on commercial activity, but I can sell it for my cost price, etc. So when I sell that leaf to someone else for his consumption, so the money that I get in exchange, that one shekel I get, that shekel has kedusha shvius, which means I can't use it for purchasing things that are other than shvius stuff. And when I do purchase it, like let's say I buy some fish, the kedusha will transfer from the coin onto the fish, and the fish will then have this status of kedusha, which can be consumed, and then that will solve that problem. However, if I don't spend the money, or I spend the money on the fish, and then I don't eat the fish in time before the biur kicks in, then there'll be an obligation for the money or the fish, if that's what I purchased with the money, to have biur done to it, removed from the house, and being mafkir, making ownerless, or destroying it. So on that point, it's important to make a distinction between something that has intrinsic kedusha, the fruit itself, the perishvias, those produce, there's no way to get the kedusha out of it. It's built into it, it's part of it, because it was born and grew in the seventh year. So when you sell it or trade it, the kedusha stays. Whereas the other, which I'll call, for lack of a better term, extrinsic kedusha, which goes on the money or whatever the foodstuff you traded, that's just temporary and can be traded on and moved on. So for example, again, if I have this luf leaves that are kedusha shvius and I trade my steak for your luf leaves, so the steak, the luf leaves, those leaves from that luf plant retain kedusha shvius forever, but in doing the trade, so now that invests kedusha shvius into the meat as well. And if later on we do a trade exchange of the meat for potatoes, so then the meat gets deconsecrated and the kedusha of kedusha shvius now is invested in the potatoes, etc. Okay, with all that background, we can read the Mishnah straightforwardly now, because I said the whole thing outside. The Mishnah says inside, Klal gadol amru b'shvius, they, the rabbis, said a great principle with respect to the halacha of shvius, which is, if a produce is A, kol shu ma'achal adam, food that is either food for human consumption, even if it's al-yidei l'chak, even if it's, you know, under pressing circumstances, u'ma'achal behema, here this vav doesn't mean and, it means or. So if it's either food for people or food for animals, again, this vav is or, u memin hatsovim, or it's a type of vegetable material that's used for dyeing, then this vav is the and it's miskayim ba'aretz, this vav is ve'eno miskayim ba'aretz, and it is not, it does not last in the ground the entire winter, it rots and goes away, and therefore it's not always available, and therefore it'll have the biur status. So the mission says, if it meets those two criteria, being food for people, animals, or dye stuff, and it doesn't last in the ground, then yesh lo shvius, this is the kind of produce that has the kedusha of shvius, v'ladam of shvius, And the money that's used to purchase such food or dye stuff will have the Kedusha Shvi'a as well with those restrictions. Yesh lo biur, the food will have the requirement of biur, of reading it from the house, because it's not always available. And ladama biur, the money used to purchase such a food will also have the requirement of biur, of removal from the house if it's not spent in time. Ve'ezes, and we have examples. So again, the examples we're going to give are really strange foods that are not normally cultivated to sidestep the issue of svichin. The bartender speaks out this first case, the ale haluf hashota, the leaf of the wild luf. Again, luf, A-R-U-M, arum, whatever that is, as I explained before. So this is my example. So the wild luf leaves are not normally cultivated, and therefore that's one on the list here as an example. The bartender speaks out also that there's a Mishnah in Uktsin, which talks about how wild luf leaves are not really edible unless you cook them a lot. So the point is in the Mishnah here, yeah, so cook them a lot, and then they become food for people. So they're eligible for Kedusha Shvi'as, even if they're not subject to the normal restrictions of the Isser, the prohibition against Svicha. Also on the list is Va'ala Hadandana, leaves from mint, nana in Arabic, mint. Va'ulshin, ulshin also translates as endives. Endives are kind of a delicious, but a bit bitter, whitish, like lettuce, you know. But creation are leeks, good old leeks. Vaha regila, whatever that is. Benetza chalav, literally means the milky blossom. That's how Archer translates it, but I have my doubts. Whatever it is. Umachal behema, as far as food for animals, we have examples like chochem bedardarim. That means thorns and thistles. So again, normally you don't feed your animals thorns and thistles, but you can feed camels these things, especially if they have nothing else to give them. So they merit the status of animal food, even if it's an oppressive situation, like these previous foods from before for human consumption, and they have Kedusha Shvi'as. And finally, umin hatsovim, as far as dye stuffs go, we have Svichei Istis. We've seen this before. Istis is woad, W-O-A-D, uses a blue dye. So Svichei Istis, things, you know, little aftergrowths of the Istis plant, as well as Kotza. Kotza, article translates as safflower, or used for red dye. We have safflower oil a lot. And I'll take the word for it, that Kotza is safflower. Yeshlem Shvi'as, these are the kinds of foods that have Shvi'as, Ulodemein Shvi'as, and the money used to purchase them also have Kedusha Shvi'as. Yeshlem Bior, they have an obligation of Bior. When the time comes, they're no longer available in the wild, you must destroy them or remove them from your house at least and make them Hefker. Vulodemein Bior, if you don't spend the money that's used to purchase these food or dye stuffs has a requirement of Bior as well.